Income rose faster than inflation in December. Finally. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. The latest inflation report is out. That is the Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index. And prices in December were up 5% from the year before. That makes 3 months in a row where the rate of price increases has been weakening. Inflation, bottom line, is slowing down. But also slowing down are income and spending. Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FHN Financial in New York and joins us, as he does on Fridays, to talk about it. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, Sabri.
All right, so we have a few months of data now that kind of tell a story, at least for spending, for expenditures. Spending was pretty high in October and then fell sharply and has been coming down since. What is that telling us?
It could mean that after last year, when it was really hard to find stuff when you went out shopping for Christmas late, people were determined to get it done early, and they did. The Christmas spending season pretty much ended at Halloween. Alternatively, it could mean that people are bracing for a recession. That is, it's normal to see savings increase when people start to worry about the possibility of losing their jobs.
Well, some good news in this report is that incomes grew faster than inflation for the first time in a long time. Is that encouraging?
Yeah, that's right. And I would say that's proof that the Fed is finally gaining traction in its inflation fight. We saw a smaller rise in inflation this month, and therefore an increase in real income. And while there are some reasons to be a little nervous looking at this broad report, that is one reason for optimism. When we have real income growth, ultimately long term, that's a huge positive for the economy.
Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FHN Financial in New York. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you too, Sabri.
The world's poorest countries owe close to $1 trillion in debt to private investors and to other countries. The debt service payments alone in 2022 are projected by the World Bank to have reached $62 billion. About half of the debt owed to other countries by low-income countries is owed to China. And that has become yet another point of friction between China and the U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen met with Chinese Vice Premier Liu He in Zurich recently to discuss, in particular, the debt that the African nation of Zambia owes to China. So how did this become a high-level issue between the U.S. and China? Well, David Dollar is here to talk about it. He's a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Good morning.
Good morning.
So Zambia defaulted on its debt in 2020. The IMF offered a loan to help the country out, but it basically said, we will help you with your debt, but you have to go restructure your debt first. Go talk to China about that. Why is this a U.S.-China issue?
Well, the U.S. is the largest shareholder in the IMF, and in some ways, the U.S. is kind of the gatekeeper of global finance. So we have an interest in seeing a country like Zambia succeed. We certainly don't want to see it fail. And the IMF can step in and help a country like Zambia, you know, once it's got an economic program that makes sense. But the IMF will not lend money to a heavily indebted country that then just turns around and pays off its creditors 100%. So the IMF is looking for the creditors to basically take a haircut.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has complained that it's taken far too long to resolve this. What is the sticking point? What's the holdup?
Well, China has its own politics. We're very aware it's an authoritarian country, but it has different interest groups. You have different banks involved. And these different players, that they don't want to take explicit write-offs that indicate very clearly that they've lost money. In this situation, you don't want to be the only creditor who gives relief and restores the country to economic health, because you don't want to see the other creditors get paid 100%. When you've gotten paid, say, 80% on the dollar, 80 cents on the dollar.
Well, what do you think needs to happen to increase cooperation?
Well, I think Chinese leaders have to show leadership, frankly. You would think Xi Jinping could just knock some heads together and get the Chinese financial institutions, they're the biggest creditor to Zambia, so they can take the lead and make an offer. And then basically it can be contingent on the other creditors following along. So China could play a leading role in this. It's just something they're not used to. They tend to, you know, be relatively quiet on this kind of diplomatic front. So things have just dragged on for years. And meanwhile, it has real effects.
Yeah, we talked about, you know, the creditor countries, but ultimately what's on the line here for these heavily indebted, low-income countries that owe so much money?
Well, when you get into this kind of debt situation, so then it's hard for Zambia to take on any new debt. And so that means just lots of ordinary things like trade credit. You know, you need to import some food. It's normally facilitated by trade credit. You can't get that, basically. So it creates real sand in the wheels for the economy and essentially contributes to human tragedy, basically. These are poor countries that under the best of circumstances are struggling, and now they've got this additional difficulty. And I think it's a positive thing that the United States takes this whole issue very seriously and is usually a leading force in bringing about some kind of debt rescheduling or debt relief for countries that are in over their heads.
David Dollar is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Thank you so much.
Pleasure to talk to you.
Our digital producer is Jarrett Dang. Our engineers are Jessen Dueler and Nick Esposito. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.